Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 269 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Their integrity guides their focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. They pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Their network of resources allows them to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of Iowa Hawkeye football today, but right now my first guest is a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and she's been a frequent guest on the podcast. She is Rhonda Dix. Rhonda, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
Good morning, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, beautiful day today, huh?
It is. Yeah. It is. A little steamy, but it's okay.
That's what you expect this time of year.
You bet.
How's your summer going? You've been pretty busy?
Yeah, well, like I said, business has been good, yes. I haven't really done a lot of fun things outside of work, but at the same time, always blessed to be busy.
Sure. Yeah, my wife and I took a couple of short trips this summer, and that really broke up the summer, so it seems like it's gone by really fast.
But I know, this whole year, like I said, you blink, and I'm like, wow. I mean, I'm excited, like you'd mentioned, football leading into this. I'm ready for college football, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, talk a little bit of real estate. You mentioned off air that you guys got a lot of inventory available right now, do you?
We do. Yeah, MJ Properties. I think this is the first time that we've actually had what we consider market or spec homes available. You know, our business model has been a lot of customs in the past, and of course we've been very conservative with our inventory, but also we want to be out ahead of the curve too and have some properties available for those people that might be trying to sell their home and then have a place to go. Sometimes that's a delicate dance, trying to find the perfect home, sell yours, and then not have anything available. So yeah, we've got two completed homes. We've got three more ranch homes that are nearing completion. Here at the end of August, we're going to kind of do a big realtor promotion, or just an opportunity for them to come in and shop what we have. But of course, we've got a two-story out there, which is not very characteristic of us. Ranches have been kind of the way to go, but we've got a large two-story also in our Centennial Estates development that is going up nicely too.
Nice. Well, I heard the other day that they project that by the year 2040, Ankeny is going to be like 130,000 people. So that's a lot of new homes that are going to have to go. That's going to keep you in business for a while.
I know. And just every day you drive around this town and see the growth, and you know, that makes you smile too. But we never have a lack of places for people. So that's good.
Yeah, it's just crazy how this town is growing, because where we live now here by Otter Creek Golf Course, you know, we're on this side of town, but if it keeps growing this way, eventually we're probably going to be like kind of in the middle of town.
Isn't it kind of funny? You drive around now and it's like, oh, I got to sit in traffic. But like I said, we're still in a great location, you know, just north of the Des Moines Metro, easy to get to Ames. So appealing to several buyers.
I think you can get to Ames faster than you can from where I am, like the south side of Ankeny.
I agree. I like to take the shortcuts. I usually go up Highway 69. I know there's a little road construction going on there now too, but like I said, any opportunity to get somewhere. But again, that allows us so many different amenities and activities for people to enjoy and still be part of the Ankeny community.
I do have an interesting question for you. At least I think it's interesting. We're kind of living in some interesting political times right now. When people look for a place to retire, they might look at Florida or California or Arizona, and those states are very different politically. Like, do you have clients when they move to Iowa, does the topic of politics ever come up? Like, do they ask you, like, what the state of politics in Iowa is like?
You know, politics, every day it's in a conversation, too. Yeah, I mean, we're very conservative here in the Midwest, too. I know people are very strong-minded with that, but no, I really haven't had too many people say they're moving here because of politics, but like I said, we sure have a pulse on things, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in November.
Well, you can't get away from it this time of year. So.
No. And same with that. People are talking about interest rates and trying to decide, you know, whether they're going to come down, what to do. But I always remind people, you know, people need housing, and there's people that can't wait for an election or can't wait for, you know, whatever their next life changes too. So real estate's still a great investment. And like I said, worst case scenario, you can always do a refinance here in the future too, hopefully with lower rates.
yeah, depending on what happens in November, there's going to be some upheaval one way or the other, I think. I don't know how it's going to affect the real estate business and everything else, but there's going to be some ramifications, I think.
Well, and everybody, I think, has been trying to sit on the sidelines and predict. We're never going to see those under 3% interest rates in anywhere in the near future. But, you know, that was kind of an awesome opportunity for those of people that were able to secure that. But like I said, we're sitting for conventional rate mortgages right now around that 6.5%. And still, it's a great interest rate. And like I said, if we go a little bit lower at the same time, capture that opportunity as well.
One other thing I saw the other day that I was going to ask you about, it was like the program for first-time home buyers, they get like some sort of a stipend or something. And obviously, my wife and I wouldn't fall in that category, but I'm sure there's a lot of young buyers that may be looking for their first home. Is that a program that a lot of people take advantage of?
Yeah, interesting enough, people that haven't owned a property, they don't even have to necessarily be a first-time home buyer, but I believe some of the stipulations on those now is if you haven't owned a property in the last 3 years, that you would qualify for some of those first-time benefits. Iowa has some great military grant money out there too, which is unique around the country. So again, it's really important to get with a real estate professional, but also a mortgage loan officer that you trust that, you know, can talk through your mortgage options.
All right. Well, hey, if anybody's interested in looking at any of the properties you were talking about, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
Well, they can certainly give me a call at 515-975-3735, or I'm available at Coldwell Banker. My first and last name at cbdsm.com right here in Ankeny.
All right, Rhonda, hey, thanks a lot for coming today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, well, my other guest today is a former Ankeny football standout who played on the Hawks State Championship team in 2012 before going on to play 4 years on the offensive line at Wartburg College, earning second-team all-conference honors as a junior and senior. He then embarked on a coaching career that has already taken him to a few different schools, and he's now in his second year as a graduate assistant coach with the University of Iowa, where he assists with the Hawkeye offensive line. He is Quincy Griffith. Quincy, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good, Dan. Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to stop in today. I'm sure you guys are busy preparing for the upcoming season. And, you know, have you had a good summer?
Yeah, summer's been great. It's gone by quick. I always tell people, or I've been telling people, it's probably a week sooner this year because we play an August game just with how the schedule falls. So we're getting ready to go here.
Now, I know coaching at this level can be a real grind. You know, have you had much time off between the end of spring ball and the start of fall camp, or are you guys pretty much, you know, working 24/7?
End of spring ball, we got a little bit of time, Memorial Day, that week-ish around there, because whenever our players are off, coach makes sure we have time off. And then the month of July, he usually doesn't want people in the office unless you have to be. So I have been, just because I've been doing some extra stuff with our new offense. Everything's first time and everything's and new, so it's forces to do a little extra work on the front end, but it's all good stuff. So
we'll talk a little bit more about the offense here later on, but I want to go back to the beginning of your coaching career and discuss some of the stops that you've made and the things that you've learned along the way. You started your coaching career at Carlisle High School in 2017-18, where you taught social studies, and you also served as the defensive line coach for the football team. You were also an assistant coach for wrestling and baseball. Now, did you enjoy coaching on that level, or did you always know that you wanted to move up to the college ranks?
Yeah, so I loved teaching and coaching high school. I absolutely loved it. My parents were both high school teachers, high school coaches, and I was raised in high school, you know, around that kind of stuff. So that's what I went to college for, and I coached when I was in college, too. I coached wrestling at Waverly Shell Rock, and I coached baseball here in Ankeny for a couple of years. And so that's what I thought I was going to do the rest of my life, and I kind of got into the college thing my senior year of college, like, oh, what if I could coach for a living and do this or that? Tried to do a few things. Nothing took. Got a job offer at Carlisle, and it was a phenomenal opportunity and took it, and then I kind of was like, you know, if I really want to give this coaching thing a try, and met some people, and they kind of told me, if you want to do it, you got to sacrifice and do it right now. You know, if I would have taught for 5 or 6 years and then done and tried to do it, I wouldn't have been able to do it. So I jumped 2 feet in and I moved to Bloomington, Illinois.
We'll discuss your moves here. Yeah, and it didn't take you long to make that move. In 2018-19, you coached the outside linebackers at Illinois Wesleyan while also assisting with the defensive line and special teams. In 2019, you coached the tight ends and assisted with the offensive line at Central Missouri. And after those brief stops, you then were an assistant coach at Wayne State College in Nebraska from 2020 to 22. You coached the offensive line and coordinated the run game the first 2 years while also working with the special teams. You then coached the tight ends and worked with the special teams in your last year there. So I've actually got a buddy who played baseball at Wayne State back in the day. Shout out to Brent Cameron, who's one of Yankee Fanatic's biggest fans, he'll tell you. So you must have liked it there if you stayed 3 years, which is a relatively long time in the coaching business.
100%, yeah. So I went to Bloomington, Illinois, took the job there. I worked for the head coach. His name was Norm Esch, but I worked for the defensive coordinator. His name is Jeff McDonald. Great guy. He's not in coaching anymore. He works in the private sector now. But and then a guy named Reed Hoskins was the head coach, the offensive coordinator there, and he's a Wartburg grad. He played at Wartburg, coached at Wartburg. He's kind of my connection out there. Loved it. It was great. At that level, you have six coaches, and that includes the head coach and the GAs to do everything, strength, equipment, all that stuff. And it was great, but I wanted to get back on the offensive side. I wanted to keep moving up. And so then I took a job in Missouri, at Central Missouri, which is a D2 school, a very good D2 school. Worked for a guy named Jim Sabota, who's a native Iowan. Mm-hmm. He's a great guy, and coached the tight ends there. We had a really, really good year. We had the best offensive year they'd ever had in history there, in that school's history. And so the offensive coordinator who hired me there, his name is John McMenamin. He got the head job at Wayne State and became the head coach there, and asked if I wanted to be his offensive line coach. And I said absolutely, because that's kind of what I wanted to do. And I went to Wayne on a visit when I was in high school.
Oh, okay.
And got offered a scholarship to play there, and I chose not to. Mm-hmm. And when I left that place, I thought, I am never coming back here ever again. And then I ended up living there for 3 years. But it's a great place. It's out there. You got to find it. You got to want to get there. It's you can't just drive by it. It's out in the boonies a little bit in Nebraska. But the community circles is all centered around the school. And it's really, really a nice town to work in, because they really support football. We had a young staff. Everyone was hungry. We turned it around. We had the COVID year. We actually, there were six of us that lived in a dorm room, or a dorm, first 4 months of living there, because we were all coming from different places and this sure. and that. And so just got really tight with those guys, and was able to stay there for a couple of years, and we had a lot of success. We didn't play in 2020. 21, we were 7-4, the first ranking the team had ever had in 10 years. And then in 22, we were 9-3, and we won the conference and made it to the playoffs. So really, really exciting, and really, really love those guys out there. But it was time for me to, if I wanted to keep going, to
sure.
try something new and move up a little bit. So,
well, you mentioned that you had visited Wayne State when you were looking for a place to play yourself. So was your initial first impression of the place not what it turned out to be then?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. When he called and was like, hey, I want you to be the offensive line coach. And I was like, that's awesome. But at what school? Cause I had been there now in the time, and he had used to coach there too, John, the guy I worked for. And at the time, from when I went and visited in 2012-13, to 2020, it was and even now in the past 4 years, I mean, they have an indoor now. They got to redo it, done their press box. It has like suites. They redid the weight room. They're in the process of redoing the locker room support. Their scholarships are up. I mean, they just have so much new, like it's a complete transformed campus over there. So it's a really, really good place to work, and they play really high level football there too. So,
well, you mentioned that you then needed to move on, which you did. You were hired then in the spring of 2023 to become the offensive coordinator and offensive line coach at Simpson College. And you mentioned Reed Hoskins. He was the one who hired you. You had previously worked with him at Illinois Wesleyan. And at the time you told me, quote, the chance to run the offense and call plays was certainly a big reason for the move. It's a step forward in my career to do that at the collegiate level. You know, however, you never coached a game with the Storm, as you then joined the Iowa staff before the 2023 season. You know, now how did that opportunity with the Hawkeyes come about? And did you just feel like that was one you couldn't pass up?
Yeah. My goal, when I got into the college coaching thing was, if I'm going to do it, I want to try and do it at the highest level possible. And I grew up a Hawkeye fan, and it was certainly I always eyed there to work if I possibly could, because I have so much respect for the program and Coach Ference and everything like that. And I took the job at Simpson to kind of get me a little closer to home, give me more responsibilities. I got some advice a long time ago that says, never take a job for more money, always take it for more responsibilities. And I've kind of tried to live my career through that so far. And it was like you said, it was just too good to be true. The job came open. I reached out to one of the coaches and told him I was interested in it. And then he was like, are you crazy? You're an offensive coordinator. And I said, but I'm interested and I want to coach the O-line and down the road, that's what I want to be. And I want to work in that capacity. And there's not many better places where you can get an offensive line education than the University of Iowa under Coach Ferentz. So
for sure.
I went out there and interviewed at the end of spring. I spent a day and a half there and, all went well and I got offered the job the following Friday. So like 3 or 4 days later, or whatever it was. And, moved over there the following Wednesday.
Probably didn't take you so long to accept that job.
Nope. It was one of those where if I offer this to you, you're accepting it, right? And I said, absolutely. So then he's like, all right, well, I'm offering it to you. So
well, do you feel like you've benefited from already having been at multiple schools, you know, coaching several different positions, you know, like that variety of experience? Do you think that's going to help you going forward?
Yeah, I do. The two most fun positions to coach, in my opinion, so far, because I've coached a lot of them, are defensive line. When I coached defensive line at the high school level, it was a blast, absolutely a blast. And coaching tight ends, too, just because as a tight ends coach, you're in the run game, you're in the pass game, you got to know a lot of different stuff. You work with a smaller room, so you can kind of focus a little bit more on the scheme and making your individuals a little bit better, which is really fun. But at the same time, being an offensive line coach I was told by multiple people, when you're a head coach, you hire your coordinators, your strength coach, and your offensive line coach. Those are the guys you hire because they have they work with five guys at a time and more than that. And so it allows us to really be diverse in what we teach and how we teach, because a left tackle and a right tackle might be doing the same responsibilities, but their technique is a lot different sometimes. So it's really benefited me to coach defensive line, coach linebackers when looking at a defense, or if I run the scout team, coaching a defense, being able to do stuff like that, as well as with a tight end, because when he's in line blocking or when he's coming, doing whatever he's doing in the run game, it allows me to just, I know what's going on, you know, and so it's helped me out a lot to see the big picture.
Well, you mentioned in some of those other schools that there was, you know, maybe six coaches who were taking care of everything. Mm-hmm. I noticed on the Iowa football coaching staff, the roster there are 40 coaches on the staff. Six of them are involved with strength and conditioning. Four of them are analysts. Three of them are video operations, and you're one of the four graduate student coaches. You know, so that's almost half of the staff right there. Mm-hmm. But it's a different animal at that level, isn't it?
100%. 100%. And I would even say, and I don't quote me on this, I guess, but I'd say we have a smaller staff compared to other schools in our conference. And as far as just coaching wise, and I think Coach really asks a lot of his coaches, and I think he does it on purpose, and I'm happy he does, because he asks us to do a lot more than maybe we other schools would or for our position, you know what I mean? And so it forces us to work harder and be more diligent with our work. And I really enjoy that, because it makes me want to go to work and it makes me want to be in the facility and do what, you know, needs to be done and stuff like that. So, but yeah, we have a great group of people who work in our building. A lot of people have been there a long time. And if they're not, there's some type of alumni tie or this or tie or this or that. And so, like you said, video guys, strength coaches, they're all phenomenal, and they all play a big role in our success as a program. So
now with the graduate student coaching position, are you limited to a 2-year stint there in that position?
Yeah, so I can go up to 3, but there's some specifications you have to have with classes, and you have to have a certain number of course credits to qualify for a third year if you want to do it. So I'm planning right now, if that happens, because you take a GA job to get another job, but the world of football is so ever changing and stuff like that. So if that happens, I'll be able to take a third year if I want, but I'll just kind of cross that bridge when I get there, I guess. So.
Sure. Well, having coached at some smaller schools, you know, I'm sure you've seen a big difference in the way that Iowa runs its program. And I would assume with that many coaches on staff that, you know, your positions are clearly defined and pretty narrowly focused, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone's got their role. And that's something that is, like you said, very clearly defined. Everyone focuses on their specific area, and it allows people to really be detailed and really be diligent with the work they're doing and what they're putting out there. So I really enjoy it. I mean, it's not a huge difference. It's a difference in numbers, but it's not a difference in the work that's being done, if that makes sense. You know, because we might have more people, but there's no one in our building that's not willing to do whatever needs to be done, whether it's video, whether it's this or whether it's that. So it's really cool, because we have a lot of guys on staff that have come from the lower levels, and so I really admire them and look up to them, because they've done it and they're at that position now. So
a lot of guys in your business, they certainly have to pay their dues, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, you assist with the offensive line. The offensive line coach is Georgia Barnett. So is he the member of the staff that you work the most closely with then on a daily basis?
Yep. I work with Coach Barnett all the time. He's the one who hired me. He's the one who pretty much said, like, this is a guy we want to hire. He's been phenomenal. I've learned immense amount of information from him, and he gives me a lot of responsibility and allows me to coach and be myself, and I think we work really well together, and I just follow his lead, and we try and have one voice between the two of us.
Well, once you get into the fall camp, can you kind of describe what your typical day is like, and what your duties are?
I'm just for the most part just. We do most of our stuff in the morning, practice-wise, so mm-hmm. get to the facility, practice, and then I'll have some film breakdown, and then we'll watch tape as a staff, and we'll meet with the kids in the afternoon, and then we'll do a walkthrough in the early evening, early night, and then we'll have another meeting as well at night. So, by the time we meet a lot, which I think is great, because right now you can, there's no school going on or anything like that. So you're allowed to meet and you have that time frame. So we'll pretty much meetings, practice, meetings, walkthrough meeting, that takes for the most part, 6 a.m. roughly till 7, 8 p.m., give or take. There's some breaks in there, but when you're in camp mode, you're going, so.
Well, and then I know you have three coaches on staff who are specifically in charge of recruiting, but do you get involved with recruiting at all?
Yeah, I do. I don't do any really off-campus recruiting. I'm not allowed to with the rules in the NCAA, anyone who can help, can help. And I've recruited the state before at my other schools, and I know a lot of coaches in the state as well as in the region, kind of, with working in Illinois, working in Missouri, working in Nebraska. So I just kind of say however I can help, and they give me duties if they need to. But it's mostly when kids come on campus for recruiting wise. It's not so much. I'm not on the road, not on the road or anything like that. So
gotcha. Well, last year Iowa won 10 games and captured the Big Ten West Division title for the second time in 3 years. The Hawkeyes played in the Citrus Bowl and finished number 24 in the country. Are you excited about the amount of talent that you guys have coming back?
Yeah, I am. We have a really good group. We have a really veteran group, I would say, and experienced group. We have a lot of guys who have played in big games. So I'm looking forward to it. Our defense is going to be tough as always, and we'll have good, great special teams. And I'm just excited because, last year we were able to do what we did. We had a lot of adversity, and it was a really great learning experience. And so I'm excited to see what happens this year with everything that's going on. So,
now, did the O-line lose some starters, or most of those guys back?
We did. We lost one one guy who started a lot of games last year. He was a transfer. And then he started 8 games, I think, for us last year. And he was a great guy to have in the room. But we have 7 or 8 offensive linemen who have started a game before coming back at some, start a game at some point in their career. So excited for those guys. And then we have a lot of young talent, I think, that's going to work its way in and get a lot of good experience and, trial by fire sometimes a little bit if need be, but I think that's the best way to learn sometimes. So.
Well, having coached at those smaller schools and now being at a Power 5 school, I'm sure it's fun to work with this level of athlete. I mean, I'm sure you see a big difference between the kids you've coached before and the ones you are now.
Yeah, there is, and I'd say that there is a big difference sometimes, but at other times, I had a kid that I coached at Central Missouri who plays for the Buffalo Bills now. And so, and then we had a couple of kids down there that are on NFL rosters. And, but at the same time, you'll have a kid who was a really good player. Like at Simpson, we had some really, really good players. They're just maybe a little smaller, maybe a little not the size wise, or maybe they matured later and stuff like that. So there's good talent all over the place. It's just, we probably have a little bit more than, those other places I've been, if that makes sense. So,
well, your team will open the season with 3 straight home games, including the annual Cy-Hawk Showdown on September 7th. Now, your former Ankeny teammate Xavier Quigley is on the Cyclones staff, and he is in his 5th season with the Cyclones and his first as director of college scouting / offense. Now, do the two of you guys still talk a lot, and do you think there'll be any trash talking that week?
I usually text him that week on the morning of and just say, hey, I'll talk to you on Saturday. And same. I mean, we don't really talk a lot about business, if you would, work. Actually, we don't talk about it at all. We golf a lot in summer. We've golfed 3 or 4 times this summer. And you know, just hanging out. His mom is really good friends with my mom, and so they hang out quite a bit. So I see him through that as well. And just whenever I'm back, I try and stop over and say hello and stuff like that. But no, we don't really talk a lot about each other's jobs.
Sure.
Because I think we both know it's better just to keep that out of it right now at the
right
moment. So, but he's great. He's one of my best friends, and love that guy to death, and wish him all the success always, you know. So,
well, you guys had so many great memories from high school playing on that championship team. I'm sure that's something you can talk about a lot.
Yeah, we do. We can reminisce quite a bit about this and that. And because I played left tackle, he played right tackle, and it was fun. You know, we both had the same goals, and we achieved those goals, and so that's something we can always, you know, take home with us. So,
well, the Big Ten schedule looks a little different this year. You guys will host Washington on October 12th, and you'll play UCLA at the Rose Bowl on November 8th. So, you excited about the Pac-12 teams coming to the Big Ten?
Yeah, I am. I just, it's new or different competition. You know, I have no control over that. So, but it will be exciting just to see some different teams and travel too. That is one really cool thing that allows me to do is travel. It's not like I'm going out and having a vacation or anything. You know, we're going and we're working, but at the same time, you get to see some of these cool places, and you know, so we get to travel a little bit more this year than we did last year. But I'm excited. Yeah, I hope those teams are excited too. I think they are, and that's just kind of how college football is going right now, and I don't have a ton of control of it in my position, so I just kind of go with it, you know.
Sure. Well, of course, you guys have a new OC this year in Tim Lester, and there's been a lot of speculation about whether or not the offense will look all that much different, you know, this year under his direction, because I think some people feel like it'll still be Coach Ferentz's offense. You know, I don't want you to divulge any secrets or anything, but, you know, do you think we'll at least see some different wrinkles with the offense this year?
I think every year with anything, you'll see some different stuff, and I really, really like Coach Lester. He's been great to me, and he's been great to the staff, and I think he really enjoys it right now too. And we're gonna try something that's not really that much different. It's gonna have, like you said, a few different wrinkles maybe, but it's not to the naked eye. You know, it's not gonna look like we're running old Ankeny offense. You know, the wing
right.
wing T back or anything like that. So, he's great, and I know people are excited in the building, and people outside the building are excited too. So. Just ready to get going and see what we can, you know, what we can do and how we can and execute and game plan and that kind of stuff. So,
well, yeah, I heard Coach Ferentz's comments the other day at Big Ten Media Days. It sounds like it's been a pretty seamless transition. So.
Yeah, and Tim's a really, like, if he was sitting here, you know, I get crap a lot because people say I talk a lot, which I do, but Tim can talk me under the table, which is good. So if he was, you know, he's a really, really great guy to have around and really makes things, you know, transparent and easy to follow and easy to work with. So it's been pretty, like you said, pretty seamless.
Well, as you look ahead to your future in the coaching business, you know, do you know yet what your ultimate goal is? Do you want to be a head coach at some point, and do you want to do that at the highest level possible?
My ultimate goal at the moment right now, I want to work in the NFL someday. I think that'd be cool, and at least give it a shot, see what happens. But I'm at a really good spot right now, and you know, I'm not trying to leave the University of Iowa anytime soon if I can help it, just because of how good it is to work there and how great Coach Ferentz is and everyone else on staff and stuff like that. So, but yeah, I'd like to coach in the NFL in some capacity just to see what it's what. And being a head coach, I think it'd be really cool. I don't know if I want to be an offensive coordinator again. I did that for 4 months and I enjoyed it, but I don't think it was something I wanted to long-term do. I think I found out real quick that's not something that I wanted to be long-term, but who knows? You know, I always enjoy new challenges and I always enjoy new opportunities. And so, yeah, being a head coach, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I can also see myself coming back and being a high school coach too. I just don't know. So,
well, it gives you a lot of options.
Yep. I just enjoy where I'm at right now and try and do the best job I can. So,
well, you've had a chance now to work with Coach Ferentz and his staff for a year. And of course, you know, he's been in Iowa City for a long time. And like you mentioned, he's retained many of the same coaches, you know, over his tenure. You know, so it seems like his program, you know, runs like a well-oiled machine at this point. You know, do you feel like you've learned a lot already in just the last 12 months about, you know, how you would run your own program if you had that chance someday?
Absolutely. Yeah. He sets the standard every day with how he works and how he acts and what he does when we're in the office. And you know, you listen, you watch, you observe, and then you just naturally you kind of do what he's doing, because he's been very successful and he's very well revered, and he is not a complicated guy. He is very, I'm going to be good at what's going to make us good. And, you know, that's fundamentals, and that's having a plan, and it's being tough, and just going out and competing. And he does that, whether it's in the office, whether it's on the practice field, anything like that. So he's been a really great example on how to be around a professional setting, and how to be, you know, if you want to work at this level and or the level above or anything like that, just approaching the job as, you know, being a professional. That's what we say all the time. That's what I say all the time, being a pro. And he certainly is one. So,
well, yeah, you couldn't ask for a better guy to learn from, in my opinion. So,
yep.
No, well, hey, Quincy, thanks a lot for coming today. I appreciate it. I've enjoyed the conversation. You know, good luck this season.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. And thanks for, you know, everything you do for this, for the city of Ankeny. It's been great. It's been seeing the schools, you know, as I grew up, and then the school split and everything like that, and the town not really skip a beat. It's been really great, and you've covered it the whole time, so I appreciate that. I really do.
Oh, I appreciate it, Quincy. Thanks a lot.
Yep, no problem.
All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had Coldwell Banker Realtor Rhonda Dix and Iowa graduate assistant football coach Quincy Griffith. I really appreciate the time from both of those folks. And I'm not sure if we'll have a podcast next week or not. It is a dead week for the high school athletes. So unless I come up with something, we might be back in a couple of weeks. But thanks again for listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.